Chapter 9. Monlow Harbour, Nerth, just before the evening dawn the next day. By sheer strength of will and the straining muscle power of his arms, John Grammaticus forced open the jaws of the dragon that was swallowing him and tumbled out of its furnace maw onto the cold sand. He was too weak to fight any more, but that was all right. The dragon had gone away, as all dream things do when a person wakes. Grammaticus lay shivering for a while in the basin behind the lonely tell. The injuries he'd taken the night before were worse than he had realized. His hands were torn raw, and most of his fingers refused to bend, either because they were too swollen or because they were broken. His forearms were striped with blue bruises from deflecting the Lucifer's saber blows, despite his sleeve armor. His face was sore and throbbing, swelling out around the bridge of his shattered nose and half shutting his eyes. His nostrils were black with caked blood, and the back of his head was a contusion too tender to be touched. He'd been in pain the night before, but he'd also been warm and fueled by adrenaline. Sleeping rough had reduced his core temperature and robbed him of every sensation except nausea and aching hurt. After his confrontation with the Lucifer, Grammaticus had fled into the desert. There had been no sense or safety in heading for the Terracotta Palace. Grammaticus knew he was now being hunted by at least two formidable enemies, the Alpha Legion and the Lord Commander's companion retinue. He'd found a place to shelter out in the dune sea and had gone to sleep, speculating on how best to resume his mission. However, in the freezing dawn, shivering and hurt, Grammaticus was starting to believe his mission was no longer viable. What little chance there might have been to redeem himself and finish his work had probably vanished. He feared he was too hurt and too compromised to risk continuing. Perhaps it was time to abandon the mission and get out. The Cabal would just have to find another way of accomplishing its designs. He got up unsteadily. Thin light was beginning to pour over the horizon as dawn sliced its way into the sky. It would be bone chill for another hour or so. Then the sun would rise fully, like a bleach spot on pink blotting paper, and the land would bake. And then he would be dead. But John Grammaticus had not fled blindly into the empty desert quarter. He read charts as well as he read lips. Before immersing himself in the Monlow offensive, he'd spent 3 days reconnoitering the desert edge 20 kilometers south of the palace. He'd methodically dug in contingency bolt holes, each one ready to play its part in whatever exit strategy he might be forced to use. Yes, he decided, it was time to go now, more than time. He'd done his best, and he'd failed. He'd been a fool to stay on as long as he had, especially after the business with the dragon. His expectations had reduced to 3 simple possibilities. He could escape, alive, and attempt to persuade the Cabal his failure on Nerth was not an eliminating offence. He could escape and hide from the Cabal for as long as his wits held out. Or he could die in the desert. The Cabal was not the forgiving master it may have once been, but the first option seemed the best, nevertheless. He prayed he was still useful enough as a toy to be spared. He walked west for a kilometre, glanding a little boost to wake himself up and sharpen his senses. The chemical boost helped numb the throb in his arms, his knuckles, and his skull. As his mind cleared, he took stock and verified his position, using landmarks that he had patiently memorized during his reconnoiter. A pile of 6 flat stones, a pronghorn skull decades old, a patch of scrub that looked like a map of the Crimea. In just under 15 minutes, he found the pool. It lay at the bottom of an especially deep wadi, a slick of leftover winter rain that the long summer had not yet quite evaporated. The pool was less than a metre deep at its centre, and the water had reduced down to a brackish brown silt. It was unpotable, but pure enough to clean himself with. He winced as the mineral salts in the water burned and sterilised his wounds. He groaned through gritted teeth as he sluiced the liquid against the back of his skull with his wounded hands. The first rays of the rising sun began to stab into the cold blackness of the gully like laser spears. Grammaticus gingerly traced the wadi wall around to a place marked with two lumps of onyx. He dug the sand away clumsily with his damaged hands and pulled out the kit bag he'd buried there. It was a standard army clip-lock satchel, woven from waterproof canvas. Inside were 2 litre bottles of rehydration fluid, a pack of ration bars, which he began to eat immediately, a Medicay capsule, a collapsible knife, a las pistol with 2 spare charge clips, 3 chemical flares, an autolocator, a clean body glove rolled up around a Plastec-wrapped sheaf of documents, and a write-enabled data slate. He sat down, munching on one of the ration bars and taking the odd swig of fluid from one of the bottles. He sorted through the documents. 2 pre-prepared alternative identities, along with 2 sets of blanks that he could make up quickly using the genic traces loaded into the data slate. He ran through one of his exit strategies. The food and fluid would get him as far as his next cache of supplies, 8 kilometres south. Then he'd use the autolocator to call in a rescue ship from the fleet. The flares would help the ship find him. They'd be all too keen to pick up a precious Geno 5-2 Hetman lost in the desert edge, and that was precisely what one of his pre-prepared documents said he was. He'd been careful to make up a set using the ident of a Het missing and lost during the last few weeks. Peto Albari Sonica. Het of the Dancers, missing in action since the CR-345 raid. Grammaticus idly practiced a Feodosiac accent. He could carry that off, no problem. By the time anyone realised he wasn't Peto Sonica, he'd have vanished behind 2 or 3 other stolen identities and become lost in the data labyrinth of the fleet. Then what? A berth on a supply vessel heading towards the core regions? Something simple, something unfussy. 100 ships came and went every day, servicing and supplying the huge demands of the advancing 670th Fleet. He'd be gone on one of them before anyone knew it, and on some backwater colony 90 light-years away, he'd step off and disappear forever. Forever. He thought about using the Medicay capsule to tend his injuries, then considered that dirty wounds would reinforce any survivor story he attempted to weave. Grammaticus sighed and began to repack his bag. He tried not to think about Ruxana Saeed any more. Gahet, that old bastard, had been quite right. That had been a wrong step. It hadn't impaired his mission so much as it had impaired her chances of survival. It was likely that she would pay the price for his disappearance. Once again, he despised his own weakness. He had used her so badly, so knowingly, and yet the sad truth of it was that he had genuine feelings for her. Perhaps, once he was back in the fleet and functioning under a new identity, he might arrange to have her recalled. He'd get her out and take her with him. Of course, that risked exposure. Perhaps too much exposure. "I am a coward," he told the desert out loud, tears on his cheeks. "You are," the desert replied. Grammaticus leapt to his feet, his heart pounding. He fought to get his broken fingers to take hold of the las pistol and aimed it at nothing. He snatched around, chasing the source of the voice. The pistol braced. "Show yourself," he sent. "I'm right here, John." He looked down at the stained pool, The Cabal was using it as a flecht. It wasn't Gahet this time. This time they'd sent Slauda.
"You've been quite a long time," Grammaticus said boldly, despite the fact that the vision of Slauda terrified him. "I called for you, and no one answered. Now you come."
Slauda nodded. His reflection was extraordinarily pure, like a hologram cast up from the pool's water. The autarch gazed at Grammaticus through the slits of his glinting, bone-white helm. He was as slender as he was tall. The white feathers of his giant wings caught the advancing light. A few meters in front of the towering white figure stood Galatro, Slaudar's little Exchesian interpolator.
"What do you want, Lord?" Grammaticus asked.
Slauda murmured something.
"He wants to know why you're giving up when we're so close to our goal,"
Galatro translated into common Pififque, quite unnecessarily. Grammaticus spoke the Eldar tongue well enough.
"I'm compromised. You must understand that. I can't get any closer. I can't do what you want me to do."
Slauda did not reply. He continued to stare at Grammaticus.
"You are terminating your mission?" asked the little Exchesian in Pififque.
Grammaticus switched to the Eldar tongue, ignoring the hunched insectoid and looking directly at the autarch.
"I said I can't."
"He knows what you said, John,"
said Galatro. The Exchesian had to move its mouthparts rapidly and nimbly to approximate human speech sounds.
"He thought the Cabal had trained you well, briefed you fully, shared its acuity with you."
"You did, but..."
"He thought you understood how vital this gambit was."
"I do, but why are you giving up, John?"
Grammaticus shook his head and tossed the las pistol back onto his pack.
"I'm no good to you. This situation is no longer viable. I've tried to get close to the Alpha Legion, and I can't. They're too wary. You should deploy another agent and try elsewhere. Another Legion, perhaps."
"Are you planning for us now, John Grammaticus?"
Galatro chose not to translate Slaudar's question. Instead, he relayed it straight. The question was simple, but framed in the Eldar accusative form. It felt like a death threat.
"I would not presume, Lord," said Grammaticus, shuddering.
2 years, sidereal, that's all we have before it starts,"
Galatro said, relaying Slaudar's whispers.
"A decade, maximum, before it ends. This is our window, our one chance to turn your feckless race into an instrument of good."
"You've never liked humans much, have you, honored Lord?" Grammaticus asked.
"Monkey," the autarch said contemptuously.
"You are weed species, afterbirth, runts," the Exchesian glossed.
"No, tell me what you really think," Grammaticus said.
Slauda muttered.
"You are the blight of the galaxy, and you will be its doom or its deliverer,"
Galatro relayed.
"I do so love our conversations," Grammaticus smiled. "It's so rewarding to speak to a being who perceives my entire species as a momentary aberration in the galaxy's evolution."
"Aren't you just?"
asked Slauda in thickly accented low Gothic.
"You know what? Fug you, you uptight Eldar bastard. Piss off and hide in whatever corner of the cosmos you deem safe. Leave me alone. Stop flecting up and abusing me."
Grammaticus spat. His spittle landed in the pool and caused a ripple that spread out and broke around Slaudar's armored shins.
"John," asked Galatro, "whatever made you think he was flecting himself here?"
Grammaticus backed away quickly, stammering.
No.
The autarch took a step towards him, past the cowed Exchesian, roiling the pool's sediment with his feet. Grammaticus lunged for his pack, but the Eldar, as had been the case since the start of time, was far too fast. A blur of white, it reached him in a second and seized him by the throat. Long, bone-armored fingers bit into Grammaticus's neck and pinned him down.
"Please! Please!"
Slaudar tightened his grip on Grammaticus's throat.
"Do not plead, monkey."
You came here in person?"
"Yes, John," said Galatro, coming up behind them. "Lord Slaudar came here in person because it is that important. 2 years, that's all we have," said the insectoid, relaying the white giant's almost inaudible whispers. 2 years, John. The Cabal has seen this clearly, compounding our farseer and visionist talents. Even the Drahendra have seen this, and you know how slowly they move."
Grammaticus nodded. The Drahendra was the most silent and inscrutable faction represented in the Cabal. Sentient, energized dust. Virtually extinct. The last of them existed as membrane skins around dying gas giants. Even they perceive the rapid reshaping of universal destiny.
"We're all going to die. Only monkey kind can alter the pattern."
"I wish he'd stop calling us that," Grammaticus told Galatro, rubbing his bruised throat.
"It will be called a heresy," Slaudar
replied through his interpolator. The insectoid's mouthparts twirled feverishly.
"It will halt your species' growth in its tracks. Even your glorious emperor will be lost in it."
"Lost?"
"He will die, John."
"Oh, glory. You're sure?"
"It has been far seen. He will die forever, and his eternal death is the one thing we wish to prevent. Tiny thing though he is, your emperor is a pivotal player in this."
"And Horus?"
"A monster. Not yet, but soon. A monster to engulf all monsters."
"Can't you stop it? Engage with another legion, perhaps?"
"John, we have tested them all. One by one. The Dark Angels first, centuries ago. There is too much inherent corruption in them. The gene seed weakness in all of the older legions has been exacerbated by the need to keep them up to strength for the Great Crusade. They have all, one way or another, weakened themselves. They are vulnerable. But the Alpha Legion, the last, the latest, they are still pure enough. Green, receptive to change."
"Surely..."
"John, listen to him," said Galatro. "He let the Cabal into the Black Library so they could read this truth. He broke all the ancient edicts to make that happen. It is predetermined. The Cabal has exhausted hundreds of other agents trying to recruit the Astartes."
"Human agents?"
"Yes, John, human agents. Agents of all species. John, the Alpha Legion is our last hope. They are latecomers. Their gene seed has not been diluted by the Terran and alien wars. John, we must..."
Slaudar spoke, cutting his interpolator off.
"Your first death," he said, speaking in the Eldar tongue, knowing Grammaticus had no need of an interpreter.
"My first death," Grammaticus answered in kind. "Anatol Hive. I never asked you to save me, Ortok. You chose to do that, remember? You chose to re-sleeve me in flesh and make me your agent. Don't you dare start calling in favors that I never asked for."
There was a long silence.
"I must, John," Slaudar replied.
He began to whisper again.
"This is no longer about the mission," Galatro
translated.
"The mission is still vital. But another factor has entered the scheme, an unpredicted one.
What? Asked Grammaticus.
It is something previously invisible to the Cabal's acuity. The Cabal chose Nerth as an ideal opportunity to demonstrate the effects of the primordial annihilator to the Alpha Legion. It turns out it is, perhaps, too much of a demonstration.
I don't understand, said Grammaticus. What do you mean?
This is why I have come in person, said Slaudar quietly.
We have lately discovered, said Galatro, that the Nerthine possess a black cube.